Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
The GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Future Ford in Melville. When you're in the market for a new Ford, stop by Future Ford for a great selection of new and used vehicles.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, grain and oilseed markets have been trading downward recently. We'll hear about local prices from Alan Johnston of Johnston's Grain Marketing Service in Welwyn. More than 100 wildfires are burning in parts of Alberta, some of them endangering ranches. We'll hear from Samantha Caillou, who is with Go Hard Ranch near Wildwood, Alberta, west of Edson, and she'll tell us about the conditions they're under right now. An agreement between Russia and Ukraine to maintain an export passage through the Black Sea could end on May 18th. Jad Delafrey, the global media manager for Argus Agriculture based in London, will tell us about how those negotiations are going. Also, we'll hear from Mike Nash, who is the senior fertilizer editor with Argus Media in London. He'll talk about how the war in Ukraine is having an impact on Russian fertilizer exports. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of GX on Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers BioMeal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. It's also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, it's overcast here in the Yorkton area right now. We had some early morning showers, and then I think we had a little bit of a shower here this morning as well.
Yeah, and watching some rain pushing, two directions. One is a little bit over western portions of Saskatchewan. That is very scattered stuff. It's right along a frontal boundary. That doesn't look to be a big factor for us. What does, actually, is the stuff over central and eastern parts of Manitoba that's actually backing westward. This area of low pressure is tracking through Minnesota sort of north and westward, but a strong circulation around it has been pushing this moisture from east to west, and that will put us in its path over the course of the day. So we'll likely get into some showers through the afternoon. A little breeze, too, as the system gets a little closer. There's a pretty decent trough with it, so that will kick up our wind a bit. Gusts up 35 kilometers per hour or so. Temperatures are in the teens today. The cloudiness, even when it's not raining, is pretty stubborn. And as the day goes on, it's an even thicker overcast. A couple of spotty showers do linger through tonight and tomorrow, though most of what falls tonight and tomorrow is lighter. That system to the west is becoming the more significant of the weather systems. So as it moves a little bit, it'll take that low that's to our east and shift it more northward. That's really where it's trying to go anyway. It'll pull away, and we'll see improvement tomorrow. There is some warm air that's lifting in behind it as well. The warm air is right on the western side of this front, considerably warmer in western parts of Montana and Wyoming than eastern parts and the Dakotas. So as that all lifts toward us, we'll start to get into it. Not tomorrow. We do it in the clearing tomorrow. But the warm air takes until Wednesday to get here, and there could be a few more showers as the actual front goes through. Spotty, some light showers mostly on Wednesday, but temperatures get back into the 20s. So today it's 17, down to 7 tonight. The wind up today, dropping off pretty sharply and nearly calm tonight. Tomorrow, anything left over in the morning is with a partial sunshine, a high of 19. Partly cloudy Tuesday night and Wednesday, maybe a shower or two Wednesday, nothing too heavy, high of 24. Sunshine Thursday, looking for a nice day at 23, and a chance for some showers once again on Friday as another area of low pressure feeds in. This one looks very similar to today's, actually, just with some ever so slightly warmer air, temperatures still crack 20.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour, the Paw is at 20 degrees, Swan River 16, Dauphin 13, Brandon, Shoal Lake Russell 9, Roblin 12. Regina and Indian Head are reporting in at 15, Saskatoon 18, Hudson Bay, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington 16, Broadview, Mooseman 10. The Yorkton-Melville region has an overcast sky, a northeast wind at 21 kilometers an hour. 68% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 12 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of 18 degrees and dropped to a low of 3 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is 16 degrees. The normal low is 3 degrees. The sun rose in Yorkton at 5:10 this morning, and it will set at 8:23 tonight. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot was Norway House at 22 degrees, the cold spot Lynn Lake at minus 1 degree. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Nipawin at 22 degrees. The cold spot was Key Lake at minus 4 degrees. And that's a look at your agriculture weather. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return after these messages. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. Grain and oilseed markets have been trading downward recently. With the latest on local prices, here's Alan Johnston of Johnston's Grain Marketing Service in Welwyn.
All the markets are lower on just about every front, and, you know, just everything, flocks and canola and wheat and barley and everything, but there's still lots of stuff moving. We have to keep in mind that these prices are still, you know, pretty damn good compared to what they were a few years ago. But we got used to those high prices last year, and guys want to see them, but the world seems to change quite often and in pricing on grain, and we're in one of those little bit of a lows right now, but still moving quite a bit of grain. On Friday, I think we traded 79 B trains of grain, different things, you know, peas and feed wheat and barley and lentils, and it's just whatever's moving, that's people call us on, and that's where we work on that day, and the next day it could be a whole completely different rush of orders from different clients. The grain companies get our daily report, which is free if people out there want to get on it, and you would really like it. The companies get it, and they see what we're trading, and they'll phone up and say, oh, well, we need 10 loads of this, or we need 400 or 500 or 3,000 tons of this. We trade a lot of barley into the feedlots in southern Alberta. We have a whole division in our downtown Calgary head office now. That's all they look after. Lentils are still staying fairly strong, and, you know, just canary seeds is relatively strong in price. I could throw some bids out there, but they could change in an hour. But this is what we're doing. And when you call here, like, we have probably 25 or 30 buyers for every commodity that you might want to call on, or even more than that, lots more than that. But then we have this chemical program. We're one of the strongest chemical sellers of the best ones in Western Canada. And we prove it by our sales. We opened a new warehouse in Maple Creek. We built it for a year. And we're going to build one in Mooseman this year. And just expanding full bore in that chemical business. And then about a year ago, Doug, we stumbled onto a gopher poison from the RM of Maple Creek. When we bought that building out there a year ago, they told us to get this stuff. We brought it in. And I think we sold 7 or 8 Super B loads, or 7 or 8 Dan loads, like semi-loads of it so far this year. It's just been unbelievable. Like, RMs phone up and get 2 or 3 pallets. There's 40 bags on a pallet. And it's just another product that we never dreamt we'd get into, but because it helps our farm clients and they seem to really want it, they could come and get it from us, or they can have it delivered if they order full pellets. And it just keeps going on. Like, we're in the fuel business in Manitoba now. We soon will probably be in Saskatchewan and Alberta. The company has grown from myself in 1986 to 35 people working on this right now. Head office is Calgary. So I don't want to bore you in all this, but that's what's happening in Johnson's. It's pretty exciting. I retired 2.5 years ago, and I still work every day. You can figure that one out.
He finds that some producers are trying to empty out their bins right now.
Hung on maybe too long because they've lost quite a bit of value in their commodities. But, and then some guys are just they're still riding the wave of older prices, so they're going to hang on, and they hope it comes back. Flax is a good example of that. Lots of guys are selling, and we're getting right around that $16 right now. And we got some new crop bids here this morning, a whole new deal on yellow and brown flax. Just every day there's something different that we are looking for. And that's proof in the pudding again on that Johnson's Daily Report. It just shows you what we traded. Like on Friday, I think we traded 79 Super V loads of grain from farmers to grain companies in one day. It's a busy world that we live in the life of Johnston's, and it's so much fun. I'm enjoying it immensely.
Johnston says he's also watching for the possible termination of the Black Sea grain deal next week.
Definitely. That's why I always worry about people that give advice on what's going to happen with the price of grain, because one never knows what's going to happen. There's things like that change. It could be a volcano, and there could be an earthquake. There could, a nuclear explosion like we had in Chernobyl there a few years ago. There's so many things that affect this market. You could maybe figure out a little bit of what might happen, but it's very susceptible to any major change any hour of the day. You just have to, mostly figure out what you need, and if you get where you like the price, I always tell guys to take it, because you wait too long, and 90% of the time we wait too long. We're always hoping for the next dime or the next dollar, and end up taking a dime less or a dollar less, and just. That's not advice. That's just the way I've seen it happen. I've been at this now for 37 years.
He says you can give them a call at 1-800-324-7778 if they have any questions.
Yeah, they can just call Doug Cullen, our 800 number. One of our traders will answer it, whether we're on internet phones, and I'll say they ring here and they ring in Calgary, and you'll get put through to somebody that can help you, that's for sure, whether it be Gopher bait or chemical or grain of any sort. And we move heated grain and spoiled grain. Lots of times elevator line tell people to throw their canola away. It's too heated. It's junk. And we come along and buy it and pay them $9, $10, $12, $15 for it. It just blows them away. They just don't know that this is available. Just use one of our brokers and away we go. And there's lots of other brokers out there right now, but we've been at it the longest. I think we've got the most contacts in the world right now, and it just keeps growing every day. So welcome anybody aboard, whether they have one truckload of grain or 100 truckloads of grain. We can deal with it.
And Johnston provides an update on seeding in the Welwyn area.
I haven't seen any locally here, but they must be going. I was in Calgary all week. We just got home Saturday night and didn't travel too much yesterday. So I would imagine they're going around here, because we've seen quite a bit of activity on the way home. So. It'll be going wherever they can go. Like it's getting late. They need to get that stuff in the ground and quickly.
That's Alan Johnston from Johnston's Grain Marketing Service in Welwyn. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
Future Ford has been serving the Melville area for over 30 years. They focus on the future. Their staff are ready for what's to come. Ford Tech is changing all the time with new vehicle technology like EV, self-driving, and more. Get ready to drive into the future. Why? Because the future is Future Ford.
GX94, Ag Review.
CN and CPKC Rail supplied a combined 95% of hopper cars ordered in Grain Week 39, marginally lower than the previous week's 99% order fulfillment performance. The slight decline reflects no change in performance for CN and a modest decline for CPKC. In supplying 98% of hopper cars ordered on time in Week 39, CN's performance was unchanged from Week 38 and remained above the 90% performance threshold for the third straight week and seventh time in the last 8 weeks. CPKC order fulfillment performance declined slightly, with the railway supplying 94% of cars ordered, down from the 99% order fulfillment performance seen the previous week. CPKC also remains above the 90% threshold for the third straight week and sixth time in the last seven. Rick Mitzel is the new president of the Flax Council of Canada. Mitzel will replace Wayne Thompson, who has become the executive director at the Western Grains Research Foundation. Mitzel will also continue to serve as the executive director of Saskatchewan Mustard Development Commission and CEO of Mustard 21. Mitzel has a Bachelor of Science in Agriculture degree from the University of Saskatchewan. He's a certified crop advisor and a professional agrologist. Mitzel will assume his new role immediately. The Flax Council of Canada is a national organization which promotes Canadian flax and flax products for nutritional and industrial uses in domestic and international markets. Quebec farming organizations say the rising cost of land is making it harder than ever for young farmers to enter the business. Benoit Curé, the coordinator of a program that pairs aspiring farmers with landowners and farm operators who are planning to retire, says the price of agricultural land rose by about 10% last year. Curé says agricultural land in Quebec now sells for more than a farmer can hope to make from that land over their career. Miriam Landry, who has been raising goats for their meat in Saint-Esprit, Quebec since 2018, says she was able to get her start by opening a small operation in a rented barn. But she says it's difficult to get financing for small operations, particularly ones with less common products like goat meat. Quebec's Farmers Association says around 10% of farmers in the province are thinking about closing their farms this year because of rising costs. CNH Industrial has raised its full-year revenue forecast as operating profit topped expectations in the first quarter, aided by a strong order backlog and resilient demand for its large tractors. The company increased its revenue outlook for industrial activities to between 8 and 11% this year versus a previous forecast of between 6 and 10%. Farmers' solid income cushioned profits, even as commodity prices came down from their peaks a year ago. Growers were able to cash in on still elevated wheat and soybean prices, which fueled purchases for new and used machinery. CNH farm equipment brands include Case IH, New Holland, Steer, and FlexiCoil. Minnesota farmer James Wolfe will not have his farm equipment returned to him for the 2023 growing season after a federal judge on Thursday denied a motion in an ongoing organic crops conspiracy case. Wolfe was indicted by a grand jury last year on three counts of wire fraud as a result of an alleged conspiracy to falsely sell $46 million in non-GMO corn and soybeans as organic. 12 pieces of Wolfe's farm implements were seized by federal authorities as part of the investigation. On Friday, Wolfe's attorneys announced they were planning an appeal, according to a notice posted with the U.S. District Court for the District of Minnesota. Also indicted in January was Olson seed owner and operator Adam Olson of Minnesota. Olson is now named along with Wolfe in the new indictment. And be sure to listen to the latest GX on Agriculture podcast. It's brought to you by Future Ford in Melville. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return in 90 seconds time. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. It's overcast and 12 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. More than 100 wildfires are burning in parts of Alberta, some of them endangering ranches. One example is Yellowhead County west of Edson and about 2.5 hours west of Edmonton. Volunteers battled wildfires for most of last week and are still monitoring the situation very closely. Samantha Caillou is with Go Hard Ranch near Wildwood, Alberta. She and her neighbors chose not to evacuate so they could save their ranches, animals, and homes. This is what she had to say this morning.
We've been soaking all the hot spots. We did have a ground crew come yesterday and some helicopters, but Saturday it was out of control again, and if it wasn't for the quick thinking actions of our neighbors, our friends, our family, and perfect strangers that came to help us, I'm not quite sure where the fire would have gotten to. As of right now, it's just a few kilometers away from us, but with our diligent effort, we all are just banding together to make sure it doesn't go any further.
Caillou says it's a very difficult time for ranchers in the Edson area.
There's cows calving right now. Like, people can't just up and leave, and we're all living here without power at the moment. We're all hooking up the generators and trying our best to make sure all the animals are cared for. People have been working around the clock to make sure that they're monitoring the fire, and then if we need anything, people head out with water and that sort of thing. And there's been three tractors steadfastly building fire guards for a solid week. We have teenagers running some of this equipment, and like, everyone's just doing the best that they can possibly do. And I have never been so proud to live in rural Alberta.
Caillou says the fire guards have been able to do the job, and all the neighbors have been working together.
We had tractors, we had trucks with just water totes, we had huge plastic tanks on trailers, and like, my dad and our entire family has been doing whatever we can possibly do to help our friends and family. And our neighbors who initially, this has been happening for over a week now, our neighbors who initially recognized the danger that we were truly in, there was two teenagers running two huge tractors, and our neighbor was in the dozer crashing through burning trees to make sure that the fire didn't extend any further, because if it does, we have no idea where it might reach.
Unfortunately, not all the property could be saved west of Edson, Alberta.
We have had some community members lose homes, but we did everything we could possibly do to help every single home north of Wildwood along Range Road 92 into the east and west from the Lobstick River to Chip Lake. And we had people coming into every yard site, and we were soaking houses, and we had two wildfiremen giving us a little bit of guidance, and then I was sharing with everyone just what to focus on, and I was asking questions. And so they're the professionals, so I wanted as much information as possible, and then we could just continue to break ground with the tractors, build fire guards, and then soak every single yard site. And we were actually very, very, very successful. We did have some losses, but it was incredible.
A fundraising effort is now underway to cover some of the volunteer firefighter fuel expenses.
So we've been working with the United Farmers of Alberta. I thought it just makes perfect sense to team with UFA and try and get a fuel fund for all of these people that are spending money out of their own pockets, because the county and other, like, our government has truly left us to burn. And so we have taken it into our own hands to save people, to save animals. So some of our friends run the UFA in our local areas, and we have been working closely with them, and they are working with head office to set up an account or however it's going to look, so that people that truly need it can get the access to it. So I should know more about that, since the head office wasn't open over the weekend.
Samantha Caillou is with Go Hard Ranch near Wildwood, Alberta. That's in the area west of Edson. She and her neighbors chose not to evacuate so they could save their ranches, animals, and homes. Another fire in Fox Lake, 550 kilometers north of Edmonton, destroyed 20 homes, the RCMP detachment, a store, and the community's water treatment plant. Meantime, Alberta Premier Danielle Smith is expected to provide an update on the province's ongoing wildfires at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for June closed at 162.42 today. That's up 50. August live cattle closed at 160.07, up 57. August feeder cattle closed at 223.10, up 167. September feeder cattle closed at 226.65, up 160. June lean hogs closed at 83.30, down 47. July lean hogs closed at 85.27, down 15. And that's the livestock market conditions. An agreement between Russia and Ukraine to maintain an export passage through the Black Sea could end on May 18th. While negotiations continue, the Russians do not appear motivated to extend the agreement for a fourth time. Grain shipments through the Black Sea have dropped off dramatically over the last several weeks, according to Jade Delafray, the global media manager for Argus Agriculture, based in London.
We're seeing the rate of inspections decrease, the number of vessels leaving Ukraine's deep sea ports drop. In the last week, there were only 6 vessels leaving through the corridor. This is sharply down from where we were a few months ago. The peak was reached back in September 2022, when in a single week, more than 55 vessels were able to leave Ukraine's ports.
Even though news on the Black Sea corridor can move wheat prices up or down, Delafray says global wheat supplies are more than adequate, with surplus stocks in the European Union, Russia, and Australia.
In a worst-case scenario, the world would stand to lose about 10 million tons of wheat exports from Ukraine. But in this instance, because of strong ending stocks expected in the EU, in Russia, and in Australia, those 3 places could ramp up exports sufficiently to offset the loss of Ukrainian volumes in this worst-case scenario.
Ukrainian farmers will cede less land for a second straight year while the war with Russia drags on.
And when we look at the spring planting progress, which is obviously is underway, so it's still early days, but the pace is generally below where it was in previous years. And in the case of spring barley, for example, the ideal typical planting window actually comes to an end pretty soon. Around the mid-May mark, normally farmers are done planting spring barley. So we're well below where we were in previous years. On corn, we're also delayed. There are multiple factors behind the delay. Weather, unfavorable weather with a lot of rain is part of the explanation.
She goes on to say,
overall for 23-24, we have our own winter and spring wheat estimates. So put together across the winter and the spring wheat crops, we expect Ukraine to produce 16.34 million tons. But all in all, it could take years for Ukraine to regain its previous place in global agricultural markets should the conflict come to an end.
Jade Delafray is the global media manager for Argus Agriculture, based in London. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return right after these messages. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. The war in Ukraine has not had a negative impact on Russian fertilizer exports. In fact, Russia sold more urea and phosphate last year. Mike Nash is the senior fertilizer editor with Argus Media in London.
Russian urea, for example, exports rose over 10% 2022 versus 2021, and that's because new capacity, and that saw exports rise to nearly 8 million tons. More interesting even than that is if you actually look at countries took product from Russia that you would not, for political reasons, you would not necessarily expect them to. And again, this is just one of the myths that European and Western entities turned their back on Russian product. That did not happen.
Nash provides these examples for urea.
The US took more, 22% more. The Netherlands, 152% more. Turkey took more. Germany took more. France took more. And India took an awful lot more. That was a big dumping ground for urea in 2022.
Russian exports of phosphate products rose based on sales to Brazil and especially India.
Exports of DAP and MAP, the main phosphate products, both rose. The combined exports were well over 4 million tons. And in phosphates, where did they ship? Well, the big one, again, a little bit as with the urea, India, which is very much a market that drives both phosphates and nitrogen, took significantly more from Russia. They had no qualms about taking more Russian DAP, and you saw an increase of 650,000 tons DAP, and in a market that's only about 14-15 million tons overall, that is significant. So Russia moved an awful lot of tons.
Nash says there are no short-term signs of higher prices for urea or phosphate.
Urea is weak. Prices are expected to edge down. That's on oversupply, particularly from China, as it turns on the taps again after the domestic season, and there is slow import demand in the Northern Hemisphere. Very much India is driving it. Whenever India tenders, that has some impact on the market. In DAP, MAP, similar story. India has healthy DAP stocks. It continued to buy through the first quarter, which is relatively unusual. It built stocks, so it is under no pressure to step into the import market in any a significant way, and that's pressuring that market because India takes so much. West of Suez, Brazil is on the sidelines. Affordability is good in Brazil, but they smell blood. They sense that mat prices are under more pressure. And with the US slowing as its spring season comes to an end, obviously that's also adding some pressure as well. Potash, similar story. Prices expected to continue to edge down, although we do see some demand emerging in Brazil, the US, and in Europe by the second quarter.
As for the longer-term outlook, Nash says natural gas prices will need to be closely monitored later this year.
The concern will be gas prices. If they are to spike again as we move into the late 2023 and into 2024 in times for the winter season, then obviously if we are still in conflict and there's still high gas prices, that will again put stress on the European production base. And if production is curtailed, then obviously that will require more imports, and that will push up prices.
Mike Nash is the senior fertilizer editor with Argus Media, based in London.
Commodities update.
Canola futures closed mixed in the nearby months today. July canola closed at $733.20, down $1.90. November canola closed at $711.60. up 60 cents. July Minneapolis wheat closed at 843¾, up 7¾ cents. July Kansas City wheat closed at 844¼, up 11¼ cents. July Chicago wheat closed at 654 per bushel, down 6¼ cents. July corn closed at 596½, unchanged from Friday's close. July soybeans closed at 1433¾, down 2¾ cents. July oats closed at 339¼, that's up 10¼ cents. And that's the commodities update. Protein Industries Canada is encouraging companies to submit projects that can foster growth in the plant-based food sector. CEO Bill Gruhl says they're accepting a second round of expression of interest letters for their technology leadership program starting today.
What we launched this week is called a call for expressions of interest. So that's ideas and concepts that companies might be interested in having Protein Industry Canada co-investment in, for projects to accelerate the growth of Canada's plant-based food, feed, and ingredients.
He notes there's already been a number of expressions of interest.
Yeah, we had great demand, and I think a couple things. One is it really demonstrates the optimism that Canadian companies have about the growth of the plant-based food sector, and it also shows the demand for a service like ours to help companies offset the cost of innovation, and an organization like ours to help accelerate the pace of innovation. So yes, we had very good demand. We just reviewed 36 expressions of interest. We're moving a number of those forward to full applications that we hope to fund and support. But the second call is really just to catch those companies that maybe didn't have enough time in the first call, and to bring in any new organizations with new innovation concepts as well.
Gruhl outlines the criteria that must be met to make an expression of interest.
A couple things. The first off is that the innovation project really has to be focused on growing Canada's plant-based food, feed, and ingredient sector. And that could cover things like advanced breeding technology, maybe increasing protein content in peas or canola, work in the digital agriculture space, really focused on how we use data and information systems to track traceability or improve on-farm production efficiency, something related to ingredient processing, novel technologies aimed at creating new ingredients from Canadian crops, or the development of what I would call consumer-ready products. That could be anything from a plant-based food to a new feed ingredient and even a bioindustrial product. And so first off, it's got to align with one of those categories. And secondly, this is a collaborative innovation project. So there must be at least three private sector companies collaborating in the innovation project. And one of those must be a small and medium-sized enterprise as well.
That's Bill Gruhl, the CEO of Protein Industries Canada, going over the criteria for submitting an expression of interest for their technology leadership program. We'll hear more about their incentives and how to apply coming up on tomorrow's program. But stay tuned, the Farm Bulletin Board is coming up next.
Farm Bulletin Board.
On today's Farm Bulletin Board, once again a reminder that Doug Ukrainitz, the well-known auctioneer from the area, is in Arizona battling cancer. They've set up a GoFundMe page for him, so if you'd like to contribute, simply go to www.gofundme.com and you can find the page there for Doug Ukrainitz. Meanwhile, the Yorkton Research Farm, East Central Research Foundation, and Parkland College are still looking for a new research assistant or even a co-coordinator that could take the leadership role in a few years. They're looking for someone with a recent master's student graduation in agronomy. If you know of anyone who would be interested in this position, they should call Mike Hall at 306-621-6032 or simply send him a resume at m.hall@parklandcollege.sk.ca. So once again, they're looking for a research assistant at the Yorkton's East Central Research Foundation, just south of Yorkton. Are you a private landowner who owns 500 acres or more of grazing land? Then the Saskatchewan Stock Growers wants to hear from you. You're asked to take a survey that will explore understanding, perceptions, and interest in carbon opportunities and ecological goods and services across the Canadian prairies. Responses will be anonymous and grouped to your larger region for protection of privacy. You will receive $50 as a thank you for your participation. You can simply visit www.fuseconsulting.ca/take-the-survey in order to complete that survey. And that's all the time we have for today's Farm Bulletin Board. It's almost 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. That means it's time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast. For the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Moosomin, and Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today, a 70% chance of showers, winds east at 15 to 25, gusting higher at times later in the day, a high of 17. For tonight, a 50% chance of spotty showers, winds becoming light, and a low of 7. For tomorrow, a 30% chance of spotty showers, then partly sunny, winds west-southwest at 10 to 20, a high of 19, an overnight low of 6. For Wednesday, a 50% chance of showers, a light wind, and a high of 24. Thursday, mainly sunny, a high of 23. And Friday, mainly cloudy, with a 30% chance of isolated showers, a high of 22. In the Paw, it's 20 degrees. Swan River is at 16. Dauphin, 13. Brandon, Show Lake, Russell, 9. Roblin, 12. Regina and Indian Head are reporting in at 15, Saskatoon 18, Hudson Bay, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington 16, Broadview, Moosomin 10. The Yorkton-Melville region has an overcast sky, a northeast wind at 21 kilometers an hour. 68% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 12 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. The GX on Agriculture podcast has been brought to you by Future Ford in Melville. When you're in the market for a new Ford, stop by Future Ford for a great selection of new and used vehicles.